Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Picking 12th in the NBA draft will be the Chicago Bulls.
Well, it is draft day.
Mullionhaw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. It is indeed draft day, and hopefully the Bulls will look significantly different after the outcome tonight. Maybe they can get a great player. Maybe they can trade for a player or two. Just different, David. I think that's what we're
different.
After.
Yeah.
And we're delighted to welcome in our buddy Cody Westerlund. He works with us here at The Score, and he covers the Bulls, and he joins us on the Aturo hotline, the Aturo Tire hotline, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Cody, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Different? Is that much to ask? Is it? Will it be different?
Yeah, I think so. You mentioned the word trade there just a few seconds ago, and you got to keep thinking. Nikola Vucevic is on the trade market. Lonzo Ball was signed to a contract that was essentially meant to be traded at some point. The Bulls have a real backlog of guards in the backcourt, so you can hear guys like Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu's names floating around in trade rumors. So I don't know how much will play out tonight. Draft night is certainly a big night for trades because this is when there's a lot of flexibility. And if you trade draft picks, the team that gets your draft pick or the draft pick you get, you can take exactly who you want, stuff like that. So if it doesn't play out tonight, still could be traded in the next week or two as free agency gets going on the evening of June 30th. And early on in July as well. But yeah, I think at some point this team will look a little different. If you're asking for a drastic overhaul, Mully, you might be a little disappointed by a drastic overhaul because you look at it now, I think the Bulls got 12 guaranteed contracts and they are set on re-signing Josh Giddey to a number of some sort, and that would be 13 of the same players before trades start. So I think the team will look a lot the same, but you'll get some changes here in the next week or two.
So there's a lot out there, Cody, fact and fiction, rumor and fact. I think that you have to try to just remember that when you see some of these tweets and reports and names linked. But Bradley Beal has been linked out there as a guy who has a past with Billy Donovan and might be bought out, and the Bulls might be a landing spot. What do you make of that internet rumor?
I probably don't like that. If you could get two draft picks to take on his contract, and he has 50-something million this year and 50-something million the following year, so you're taking on 2 years of a really bad contract if you did that. And the Bulls and Suns had been in rumors before, and the Bulls did not have interest last trade deadline and last season when Bradley Beal floated into Bulls trade rumors and sort of that sort. So I would probably be surprised if that happened, but if you're saying, like, is there a world in which I could see the wisdom in doing that, I would say yes, if you took two draft picks on for doing it, because it's a really bad contract for 2 years, I could see it because the Bulls are not competing for a championship in the next 2 years. So anything that ends up with the Bulls getting valuable first-round picks, and like you said, the Suns have the number 10 overall pick in this draft, that's a good asset. You can get a good player there. I would be okay with, but even then, just that pick for Bradley Beal, that would be tough in my mind because it's a terrible contract. He's not healthy. He hasn't really been happy. And I feel like you might be stunting the development of some of these guys too. Like, I mean, you guys can think about it yourselves. Like, how does he fit in and not get in the way of Manus Bouzelis and Josh Giddey and Kobe White if he's still here?
I think that part of the problem that we're having is that we're looking at the NBA and we're looking at the Eastern Conference, and regardless of how far away the Bulls are, it seems like it's attainable to anyone. There just is this imbalance in the league, and you wonder, if with the right moves, wouldn't they be as dangerous as anyone? Obviously, the answer is no. But if they want to win, like the Detroit Pistons won years ago and have everyone contribute, they can get significantly better if they get Kuminga, if they manage to draft the right player, if they suddenly have more as opposed to fewer holes.
Yeah, and you talk about by way of competitiveness and the East being wide open. I think, Molly, you might be referring to kind of what the Atlanta Hawks did in just acquiring Kristaps Porzingis, right? Yes. And to me, I like that, what the Hawks are doing, hitting the accelerator a little bit. The one difference is Trae Young is better than anyone on the Bulls, and Jalen Johnson is a year or two ahead as their strong, powerful scoring forward, guy that can kind of do everything for them. He's a year or two ahead of, like, say, where Matis Buzelis is for the Bulls. So you look at that, and I think that's an interesting comparison because the Hawks and Bulls have been in the play-in and they faced each other, and the Bulls have obviously beat them in the play-in before and stuff like that. But the Hawks are still like a year or two ahead on that timeline. So that's why I think it's important for the Bulls to not jump ahead and be like, let's go try to win the East next year. They need to add good young players. I'm fine if that's draft picks and rookies. I'm fine if that's people a couple of years into the NBA that can play all around basketball and fit in a system and kind of plug holes and weaknesses. You said Jonathan Kuminga. Extremely interesting, but he is very much a one-on-one scorer at times. That's why he didn't fit with the Golden State Warriors and why it looks like his union with them will end at some point here this summer. And I love the idea of him playing up-tempo with Josh Giddey in transition, but in the half court, that gets really confusing to me for the Bulls. So I feel like I'm in the middle here because I wouldn't hate the acquisition. I wouldn't love it. It would all depend on the price.
I think it would depend
on the price.
Wouldn't you love it, Cody? I mean, you don't have that kind of talent right now. What you say is true about the individual, you know, one-on-one style, but if you're the Bulls, I don't think you can be as picky as we're making it out. Well, he doesn't fit here, he doesn't fit there. You need somewhat of a overhaul would be overstating it, but I do think you need to be significantly different than you were a year ago, and he would help you accomplish that.
If it's trade Vooch to the Warriors for Jonathan Kuminga, I'm good with it, right? Because I don't view Vooch as a future piece of this team. The Bulls don't either at this point. It's a matter of how long he's going to be here or where he's going to get traded to. So I'm fine with that. If you're talking about getting off Ayo Dosunmu's contract or Kobe White to get Jonathan Kuminga, that's where I think I'd raise the red flag. I wouldn't be including draft capital here to get him. But if you're talking about trading veterans who aren't a part of the picture anymore, I'm good with it, certainly. If that makes more sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Just explain to us what is going on with Ace Bailey. You know, Ace Bailey has apparently not worked out for anyone, not visited anyone.
And he shrunk 3 inches.
And he's gotten smaller. But he's got, like, a lot of talent. But then he plays with maybe the second best player in the draft, and they don't go anywhere. They do nothing. He had a really mediocre year, although I saw him score 38 points against Northwestern at Rutgers. How far could he fall, and how talented is he? And is it good that a guy doesn't care if you call him immature?
I don't think he gets past 8 to the Nets. I think this is not a situation that is unprecedented, right? In the old days, agents used to not hand out medicals to teams they didn't want their player going to. But in the NBA now, you basically have to give medicals to everyone in the lottery if you're a highly projected pick. So you can't use that. So Ace Bailey's using the next option he has, which is just not visiting the teams that he doesn't want to go to. So I think he's angling to go to the Wizards, maybe the Pelicans, maybe the Nets in that 6, 7, 8 range. All the reporting that's been done by a lot of these national outlets suggests that he wants a really big role. And he doesn't, it's a weird draft, right? He doesn't see a big role in Philadelphia right now. He doesn't see a huge role, I don't think, in Charlotte with Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball leading the offense there. So it is perplexing people across the NBA have been obviously a little confused by it, but it's not an unprecedented strategy. It's just like how aggressively he's been doing it. And then the other thing he did, like he scheduled a workout with the 76ers, but then he canceled it. That made people scratch their heads more because just don't schedule it in the first place, right? Like he's not even going in there. Some people decline to work out on the floor, but they'll meet with you, have breakfast, talk to all your players and executives and coaches. He doesn't even seem to be wanting to do that. So it's weird, but like this is what happens behind the scenes in the NBA. Agents are trying to do everything they can to get their guys where they want to go. Sometimes they look really smart. Sometimes it doesn't play out well. And I think Ace Bailey is the most fascinating case in the NBA draft night here because there's the most mystery around him, and we kind of know how the first two picks are going to go, obviously. Like you said, Molly, he was a top three talent when the season started, and then inconsistencies came, and we don't know where he's going.
We're talking about the NBA draft, and tonight Chuck Swirsky will as well after the Cubs postgame show right here on the Score and the Odyssey app. Round one of the NBA draft until midnight. He will break it down and what the Bulls will do with the 12th overall pick. Swirsk will tell you what he thinks of that. All right, Cody, we have to ask you about Derek Queen because we've asked everybody else. Whether it's intentional or not, it seems to be the messaging that he doesn't fit what the Bulls might be seeking because of their style of play. What do you think about that?
I don't think the Bulls should be too preoccupied by fit for people because I'm of the belief that get the best talent that you have confidence in there. So I don't think you need to have like a perfect fit next to Josh Giddey when you're drafting players. You draft him onto rookie contracts here. 3 to 5 to 7 years from now, you want to feel really good about who you drafted, regardless of how they fit in positionally as a rookie. My concerns about Derek Queen have less to do with his fit and just the huge defensive question marks that he comes with and doesn't have a reliable three-point shot yet. He is a marvelous, marvelous finisher in the paint, great in the short roll, can pass the ball off that, make quick decisions. You like that, but you guys know, you've been talking about him a ton. High ceiling, low floor. This is high risk, high reward if you were to take him. And again, it depends how stuff plays out ahead of time. Like, I think I'd rather the Bulls take Derek Queen than Carter Bryant, the wing from Arizona, who's a 3-and-D guy but doesn't do a lot off the bounce himself. But if you're asking me, like, is it Derek Queen or Colin Murray Boyles, the forward from South Carolina, the big man who's a little undersized, I'd go with Colin Murray Boyles because I like his defense better. I love his passing. I think he's a more seamless fit. I think he can really be a good NBA player down the road, especially if he gets a good shot. So it depends who's there on the board. And that gets back to the wishy-washiness, right? Like, take him or not. Well, tell me who's on the board at 12. I can tell you the plus and minuses of both. But he's an option for the Bulls. He's certainly an option if that's what you're asking.
If there were a Bradley Beal trade of some sort involving the Bulls, would that lead to just questioning the owner of the Bulls / White Sox and the future owner of the White Sox exchanging players in a trade? How curious would that be to Mike Silver?
I had not even thought about that. I had not thought about the fact that the Ishbias could be trading a player to an organization owned by an owner who they're taking over for in the baseball world. So that would be something. I don't think there's a conflict of interest there by way of the rule book in the NBA, but I also haven't researched that at all. So the Bradley Beal thing, it feels like you guys are kind of speaking this into existence. I'm there if you can get enough draft capital for it, guys.
No, I don't think it's that realistic. But I think that, look, it's the NBA. It's on draft night. And you do see a lot of things happen you don't necessarily expect to see happen. So anything is possible. You look at how aggressive the Celtics have been in unloading assets on their roster and going in a different direction. You look at some other deals that have been made. I don't know that you can rule anything out tonight is the point. Now, Arturis Karnišovas has not been aggressive in that way, but if
he hasn't, it would be total character change, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
He's been really aggressive one time, right? That was August 2021 when he went out and got Lonzo and DeMar and Alex Caruso. Super aggressive there. Hasn't been super aggressive on other occasions. So it's not like he can't be super aggressive and completely flip a roster. It's that he hasn't chosen to. And the Bulls are in a position now because they have their first round draft capital moving forward, and because they should have financial flexibility next summer, unless, like you said, they were to acquire Bradley Beal, that would end that. And that's why I don't think it's likely to happen, guys, because like the Bulls have, there's been a lot of rumors and whispers behind the scenes, like the Bulls want that cap space in summer 2026. A Bradley Beal acquisition would make that go away, obviously. You'd have a huge contract not producing much on your books. So from that perspective, that's – and look, they re-signed the front office to extensions, Billy Donovan to extensions. They want to bring back Josh Giddey on a contract. Like in many ways, like you're going to see, it feels like you're going to see six or seven of the core guys you saw on the court last year continuing to play every night for the Bulls. So I don't expect an August 2021 roster flip where it was like three or four new starters and stuff like that for the Bulls, or when they had five new guys in the rotation.
How do you feel about the way this French player, this young guy, 19 years old, he's only played basketball for 4 years. How do you feel the way that Berenguer has been picking up steam in the draft? There are all sorts of reports about people kind of falling for his ability to kind of run, block some shots, help out in different fashion, and it might fit what the Bulls want to do.
Yeah, like I haven't seen him play, obviously, in the same way a lot of these college guys we see through the season, but everything you read, everything you hear, people love Berenguer's athleticism, and that's why he seems to be rising up the boards. I think he played in the Adriatic League for a team in Slovenia, I think, but he doesn't have a ton of offensive skill, right? He's kind of more of, what should we say, the lob threat that runs to the rim and dunks, pick and rolls, and dives to the rim. Like, I don't think you're going to be passing him the ball in the short roll, from what I understand, and expecting him to make plays and feed people and hit these little floaters and stuff and all that. So I think that would be a reach of a pick for the Bulls, considering the 12th overall pick. I know he's rising, but I don't think that that's who the Bulls will probably end up going with at 12, considering, like you said, we've been talking about a lot of other center options, obviously a Derek Queen type. And then you look at Kaman Maluach of Duke, probably will go in the top 8, 9, or 10, but there's probably a world, if you simulated the draft 1,000 times, where he falls to the Bulls at number 12 a few times. So to me, it feels more likely that the Bulls will go a different way.
All right, Cody, before we let you go, what's your prediction for what the Bulls do with the 12th pick?
Can I just say Colin Murray-Boyles? I think that he could go to the Suns at 10 or the Trailblazers at 11, but the Blazers got a lot of defense now, right? They just got Jrue Holiday. They got Donovan Clingan. So I think they might go for Jakančionis from Illinois at number 11. I could see them doing that. So if the Suns pass on Colin Murray-Boyles at 10, I could see him being on the board for the Bulls at 12. And I would like going with him. I think that would be a good pick for him. But that also goes back to the Suns. Been talking about them a lot here. This is a team that still wants to win now, and Colin Murray-Boyles is the type of player they could plug in and really help their team right away. So there's probably only a 50-50 chance he's on the board at number 12 for the Bulls. So I will still go with that draft selection anyway for the Bulls if you're asking for a prediction.
Good stuff.
Cody, thank you, buddy. Great stuff.
Yep, take care.
That is Cody Westerlund from here at Score. Good stuff.
Good range of opinions. He does his homework. He knows who the Bulls have been in on, and he knows how they would fit. And this roster, you know, may look very similar to what it is now tomorrow at this time. And
boy, don't you hope there's just something different?
One couldn't hope that that's not true.
Yeah. I'd like to see him make a move
reconfiguring
too. You know?
Yeah, I'd like to see some significant kind of shuffling.
Yeah.
Just a different approach to the same problem.
That's a great way of describing it. It's Mully and Haw. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to Chicago. This is from the previous pitching change. Torey Lovello with Ketel Marte in tears on the pitcher's mound, waiting for the reliever to come in, consoling Ketel Marte, who was in tears. Ketel Marte in tears, kneeling down behind second base, being consoled by his teammates. Now, we can only speculate as to what bad news that Ketel has received.
It was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty, and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players, and I'm going to protect them.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was last night at the White Sox game. It was not the entire crowd, but unfortunately, it was a sparse crowd, and Ketel Marte could hear clearly one fan.
One guy.
Who got up and screamed something at him about the fact that his mother passed away in a car accident in the Dominican Republic.
8 years ago.
8 years ago, and yeah. Marte ended up, yeah, I mean, listen.
Well, last night, it was section, I think, believe, 127.
Yeah.
It was a singular voice,
yes,
and one fan.
And they threw him out.
And they threw him out, as they should have, and he should not be welcomed back. And it was an embarrassment for the organization, for the city of Chicago, and one guy doesn't speak for either the White Sox or Chicago. And you don't want them to be left with that impression. And it was unfortunate because, Mully, you're right, it echoed because there weren't very many people there. How stunning was the reaction, though? He carried it into the field. He was clearly moved by it. And Torey Lovello, the manager, spoke afterward like, you know, he sounded like a dad.
Yeah, he did. He was emotional.
He was moved.
Talking about it right there.
So it can't happen at these events where are sparsely attended games and one guy can ruin it for everybody. And he can paint and put a blemish on an experience and a reputation of a city and a team. You can't let that happen.
But I think it is important for Sox fans to respond to that tonight, right?
Yes.
And I know the White Sox plan on responding.
Well, the White Sox talked to somebody in the organization, and I think that they feel terrible about this.
Yes.
And they feel like this is unacceptable behavior from even one fan among a fan base that is fiercely loyal, and they don't want to be represented in this way. So they're encouraging fans who are at the game today.
Yeah.
When Ketel Marte is at the plate, when he's introduced, to give him as big of an ovation as any that you could imagine at a game.
As you would a Sox player.
As you would a Sox player, as you would your favorite player, and make him feel like last night was the exception to the rule, and that this is a place that is welcoming, that it is going to be not a place you want to remember for the right reasons, and that was an aberration. And I think they're going to do something probably to reflect that. They're talking about options and ways they can do that, and they are encouraging everybody at today's game at Wright Field to make Ketel Marte feel welcome in Chicago.
That's a wonderful thing to do, and it's great to be proactive and aware of what happened and how it is perceived. And again, the guy broke down crying. He's a grown man. He's 31 years old. He lost his mother 8 years ago. It's just so disheartening that somebody could get to you like that. And it got to their whole team. And you heard from the manager there, it's just not right. And so if anybody can do anything to help balance that out, it is very much encouraged.
Yeah. So they played this afternoon, 1 o'clock at Wright Field. It's Sean Burke going for the White Sox and Zach Gallen. You might want to get a good look at him, Cub fans.
Yeah.
Because if Zach Gallen is on the market, if the Diamondbacks fall out of contention, then he might be a guy that Jed Hoyer might want to target if he hasn't already found his guy. So, yes, that was they're going to try to right a wrong today at Wright Field, and I think that is a good way to it's better to do it this way, Mully, rather than ignore it, because it's not something that you can really forget. So good for the Sox in trying to address this.
And we should remind you as well, the Cubs and Cardinals series continues tonight from St. Louis. The pregame coverage begins at 6:10 p.m. here on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Then after the postgame show, tune in as Chuck Swirsky reacts to round one of the NBA draft until midnight. So any of the whoever the player is, any of the trades made, you'll have Chuck there for you. He'll break down everything that the Bulls do on the night, especially the 12th overall pick, and all that can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
Swirsky After Dark.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know right away what Chuck Swirsky thinks about the Bulls pick.
Right. I agree. It'll be fun.
And the Cubs, that's a big one tonight in St. Louis. After losing the first two, you're in a skid. You've lost 5 of 6. You're 8-11 over your last 19 games. You need to turn things around, Matthew Boyd.
There are 162 games in a baseball season, okay. So you don't want to be as absurd as to say that it's a must-win statement game, unless you're our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes. Dustin, must-win statement game tonight?
Sure, I don't know about must-win, but it sure is a statement. I mean, at least give yourself an opportunity to split the series, which is what I predicted would happen on the Fly the W podcast. I felt this was a split, but I didn't think I felt comfortable. I didn't like the first game. Did not like the first game.
You can still split.
You could, but that's why I think it's a statement game because and it's the way you lost. So it's also a statement game for PCA. I mean, PCA flat out, he owned it. He owned everything that happened, and he said, I played a bad brand of baseball last night. You know, he did. And so that's why another reason why he should be right there in the forefront.
In the dugout.
Would you term it a must-split baseball game?
Must-split series.
So he should be right there in the dugout or right there in the lineup?
In the lineup.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Dansby, though, should be at 6 or later.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think Dansby Swanson should be moved down. And if Eric Fetty's on the mound for the Cardinals, as he is, Michael Bush should be batting fourth.
It is, I believe, it is Matthew Boyd against Eric Fetty. Should be a nice matchup.
Yes, it'd be a good matchup.
Yep.
Cubs need this one. How do you feel, Dustin, when Craig Counsell says repeatedly when he's asked if this is a big game or what it would mean, and he doesn't give it any more weight than the next one?
It's interesting. He kind of did, though. I was surprised because what he said was, it's the next one, and then it's the one after that, and then it's the, and I think that's
each
how
each game has more
has
meaning
as they come off the schedule. There are less of them, so they become more important. I actually liked that answer. I didn't like how he gave it. I thought it was kind of short. Obviously,
but the way he gave it suggested that it was bigger because he's running out of patience.
Right, right. So I'm saying I actually liked the response. I thought he said it. Slightly snarky.
I like Cranky Craig.
You like Cranky Craig?
I do like Cranky Craig.
Do you like Cranky Dustin?
Well, that's redundant.
Okay.
An update on the story over at the Rate. According
Please.
To baseball expert from the Four Letter Network, the fan has been banned from the ballpark 19 minutes ago.
Banned for life?
Banned from the ballpark. That's all the sentence says.
Okay.
That's good news. Yeah, I would think that's an appropriate measure to take for somebody that did what he did and said what he said, and they did escort him out immediately from what we understand. So good. He's not welcome back, nor should he be. So back to the Cubs.
People have to behave, right? I mean, come on. You're in public. Behave yourself. You're representing, even if it's just the fan base.
What he said was appalling. That he said it is not shocking.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, what would Bob Provest do, right? How did the Pope react when he was the
WWPD? What would the Pope do? Okay. Those are good bracelets. I bet you they could definitely. Will you do me a favor? Get me one of those bracelets when you buy me one of those T-shirts.
I'm buying you a T-shirt, man. Don't
when
even
you
give
me a Pope T-shirt, give me a Pope bracelet. Everyone, WWPD.
Pope shirts for everyone. We're going
to
do it.
I have to tell you, when I was leaving Wright Field yesterday, I almost pulled over. I saw the 14 Leo on the back
and
the front. It's very tempting.
Don't you like the one that's kind of in the well, I don't know if Chris Sale would like it, but it's kind of in the old colors. He's swinging, not a bat, but it looks like he's swinging like a cross, and there's like a red bulb instead of a
that t-shirt ball. Is so cool that Chris Sale would want to tear it up with scissors.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how cool it is.
I never know how he feels about them.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It'd be a fun one.
It's pretty fun. It's unfortunate that one guy ruined the night. And what he said was so just so out of line and inappropriate. So good.
Yeah,
that
a texter says, idiot fan, I lost my mom 2 years ago. You know, we've all lost our a lot of us have lost a parent. And a lot of us, you know, there's something about your mom, too, that is going to hit you in the feels. So behave.
Yeah, behave. That's
like
the
normal
kind of thing
human.
You don't ever get over. And it's the kind of thing, no matter how much time passes, it's going to really hit you in a bad way. And you feel your heart goes out to Ketel Marte. And I like the way the Diamondbacks responded publicly and openly.
And I like the way the Sox are responding.
Yes.
It's good to hear.
Can I tell you my favorite text this morning, though?
Oh, please.
Okay, so we talked about PCA taking ownership of what happened.
Yes.
So his new nickname is now Eat Crow Armstrong. Thank you, 630 texter. You may have insulted us early in the show with text, but I think you really delivered on that one. Eat Crow Armstrong.
Well, you called him. What did you call him?
I said
Pete Crow.
Pete Crow absent-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
PCA.
Was great.
Yeah, PCA.
That was great. Instead of Pete Crow, our all-star.
Well, let's hope tomorrow we have happier things to talk about. Wouldn't it be great to come in the morning and you have a Cub victory and PCA hits two dingers. We have a White Sox victory because Eric Fetty got knocked out in the third inning. And the Bulls draft Derek Queen after trading for Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Now
we're cooking with gas.
Now you're really
Can you imagine how excited Swirsk would be if he was able to talk about those moves?
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
He would be dancing.
Can you hear dancing on the radio? Does he have a pair?
You hear it in his voice.
But does he have a pair that have the, you know, like the what do you call it?
When Chuck speaks, his words dance.
Big time onions.
You hear it in his voice. Yes, Mully.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing you don't need.
Okay.
Visual medium with Chuck Swirsky.
I love it, though.
It's the enthusiasm. It's
the
emotion. He moves us.
It does. It'll be great to hear Chuck.
It's going to be a fun night.
If he could stay up a little bit longer, maybe we could have him on in the morning.
Oh, no.
Brennan's cracking me up today. From the Killer Queen to that.
How horrible would that be?
He's out here at midnight. He's going to stay up till 5:30?
Yeah.
Maybe you could join the pregame show.
Still, that's five.
Yeah.
Good morning. All good here.
There's the pregame show.
Good morning, Chicago.
If no one gets a chance to hear the pregame show, he plays.
I love the pregame show.
He plays AK.
It sets a stage. It sets a scene.
Yeah.
It's a great little entree.
We had him on and we wished him good morning. I think it was during COVID, and we asked him if everyone was safe, and he.
Good morning. All good here.
And that was his response.
Was that when? Was
that's
that
how
from?
It was. Yeah, it was COVID.
I remember that interview, and I remember him being very gracious.
He was wonderful.
Lasted
before. He's not talking tonight.
I know. That's the thing. We need to break, but is there anything to read into that?
No.
You just think it's something?
You know what I read into it, honestly? That the end of the season news conference probably was flatter than anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than have that happen again, if they don't make any moves or if they do something kind of, why not have Mark talk and let him? He's the general manager.
I think you're probably right.
That's
won't it be something if they end up trading for Kuminga, drafting Derek Queen, and adding somebody else, and unloading Patrick Williams?
And all of a sudden, there's no AK.
And there's no AK. Because he would be worthy of taking a bow if all that happened.
Yes, yes. Maybe he can come on in the morning.
That's great.
Yep.
All good here.
Great stuff. And remember, the draft 2 years 2 days this year. You will have the first round tonight, second round tomorrow. And they do have a second round pick.
Love it.
So, lot to talk about, lot to go over. And we've got, I believe we have a full house next. We've got not only Layla and Marshall, but also
Grody time!
Grody time! Mully and Haw on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.